I want to just share a few minutes. It's been an unusual schedule for us. Ministers are coming up sort of on off times this year. Usually we go Saturdays to Saturdays. This year we're going Mondays to Mondays, and so we have overlap between periods, each of us. And so we kind of said hello to the first period and then goodbye to them on Saturday, and then we said hello to you. But we're saying goodbye today, and you're staying, some of you, and so it's sort of this strange thing. Usually I have it all, well, everybody comes, I'm going to get them ready for the next 2 weeks, the first night, and then the last day, I'm going to send them off. So we're not doing that. We're going, and some are going, but a lot of you are just beginning your journey through this period. So I just, this morning, considering the matter of listening to God. I know a lot of us come to camp, and that's what we're endeavoring to do. That's what we need to do. It's a time, I trust, that we're able to put away a lot of the cares of our regular world, the distractions that we have, the busyness that we have, our jobs, our schools, and it's, although a lot of you are busy while you're here, there are times where we're just able to rest and be in the presence of God. And one of the things that we desire is that we would hear God, and He would speak to our hearts, not just corporately, but we need to hear Him individually. I need to know God's voice for me. I need to know His will, His leading. And so I just want to encourage you while you're here and going home. It's a little harder. We've got to be very intentional to set our time to be with God. But then we'd have listening ears. We have a God who does speak. It's interesting. The opening verses in Genesis are, and God said, right? All through creation, God spoke into existence. For 6 days, God said, God said, God said. And then the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, we also have God speaking. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And then there's even more in the last one or two verses where God is a speaking God. We have that reminder in the book of Hebrews, right from the very beginning of the book, writing to the Jews who were very familiar with how God spoke in the Old Testament. And the writer to Hebrews is trying to explain to them and reveal to them, the Jews who knew all of the law, they knew all of the feasts and the sacrifices and the priesthood and the Moses and angels. These were all a big part of their worship experience and understanding. And now they were asked to give all of that up for one person. And it was hard for them. I don't know if anybody here has been raised in one faith, or at least an expression of the gospel faith, that may have been off and distorted, and you had to make a transition from something that you were raised in, something that you were taught, to say, I have a greater understanding now of Scripture. And I'm seeing Jesus for who He really is. I was never taught that. I didn't understand that. Maybe you were completely misguided in your upbringing, or you had no upbringing, but you had a culture, and you had a belief system, and you had traditions. And then when somebody says, no, you got that all wrong, you should be doing it this way, there's resistance to that, and there's a struggle to do that. And the Old Testament was not wrong. It was God's time, and that was His economy in the first covenants that He gave. But now it was going to be fulfilled in Jesus. But if you're a Jew, everything that you built your life around now is being changed. And so no more sacrifices, no more altars, no more priesthood, no more temples. no more profits? What's happening here? So a lot of them were going back to the old way because they were suffering persecution and death following Christ. So they said, maybe we should go back. The writer of the Hebrews' main endeavor was, don't go back. Jesus is better than. He's better than the prophets and the priests and the sacrifices. He's fulfilled all of those things. He's better than angels. And so in the beginning of this, that writer to the Jews is saying, listen, God spoke in many ways in the Old Testament. Or to them it was just scripture. God spoke through the law. God spoke through prophets. He said in many ways, many times. And he said, but now God has spoken to us through his Son. But the point is, God speaks. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John are with him, and they have this great revelation of Jesus, but also on that mountain appears Moses and Elijah. The representation of the law in Moses and the representation of the prophets and Elijah. And the voice from heaven, God the Father, is speaking and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. And so it's kind of like you've heard law, you've heard prophets, but now you need to hear Jesus. I'm speaking in a different way today. And so we know that there are some ways that God speaks to us today. What's the primary way God speaks to us?
His Word.
The Bible, his Word, right? So that's one. And hand in hand with God speaking in and through the Bible is prayer. Yes, that's going to be the next one in my list. But the Holy Spirit, right? Without the Holy Spirit, we have no understanding of Scripture. Our eyes are blind to it. And so the Holy Spirit is at work in us, speaking to us, and not just initially, but ongoing, right? The Holy Spirit, as we go through the day and we're communing with God, the work of the Holy Spirit in communicating with us. And then, of course, prayer, counsel, right? Wisdom from others. God has put those around us that will give counsel, godly counsel. We need to give ear to them. And so God speaks, we mentioned last night in Romans, and all through the Psalms, we hear a lot about that, how creation reveals the glory of God. So we even see God through that, and we can be moved by that. So there are still ways that God is speaking to us, and while you're here, some of those things are going to be very evident. Certainly creation speaks to us of the glory of God. But we're gonna spend time in our Bibles and have our devotions, especially you're on staff. You've got all your readings and your staff meetings and prayer meetings, and so you're kind of channeled that way. And so we're gonna hear from the Word of God. We're gonna hear the Spirit of God throughout the day and in the meetings that work with us. We're gonna have conversations with other people that are gonna be speaking the Word of God into our lives, encouraging us and maybe provoking us toward God. And so all of these things are going to be happening, not just here, but at home and in our churches. The question then, the challenge is, am I listening? Because God is a speaking God. A lot of times it's, God, you know, why aren't you talking? You hear some people say, you know, God never speaks to me. Well, do you open your Bible ever? Do you go to church ever? Do you hear preaching ever? Do you spend time with Christians speaking of the things of God? Do you sit in his presence and listen for his voice? Or we're just expecting, you know, the heavens to open and the lightning and the voice and, you know, that there's going to be some miraculous expression. God typically is not working like that today. So how do we listen? We've mentioned a few of them. Read the Bible, but also memorize Scripture. And then meditate on Scripture. Don't just read the Bible to read the Bible, because today's day, first Monday of the second period. So we read our deal and then we just move on because we may get tested in our staff devotions in the morning. But get God's word in you and then spend time meditating on the things of God through the day. And that takes intention, right? Because our minds are so distracted. Radios, television, social media, conversations with friends, music in the background all the time. Whatever it is that's the noise in our lives, sometimes we just need to, not sometimes, we need to shut those things down so that we can hear the voice of God. So be intentional about listening. Prayer, we talked about. The problem with prayer that we have mostly in the Christian culture, at least here in America, is that we approach prayer as a to-do list for God. Okay, God, here's our needs. And we go through that, and maybe we spend a lot of time telling God our needs and asking God for things, and that's good. He tells us to. But do we ever just stop and say, okay, I've said enough. Now I need to listen. And then in prayer, just be quiet before God. Now I know, for me, when I do that, it doesn't take long for my mind to start going somewhere else. Oh, I forgot to do that. Maybe I should put that in my phone to remember. You know, a notification on the phone, noise from the kids in the other room, the clock ticking, and you've got projects and deadlines. And so we've got to, again, be very disciplined to say, I've got to find a way to shut myself in and shut the world out so that I can hear the voice of God. It's important. There are other helps that are necessary along that line, practicing the presence of God, just learning through the day, even in your busyness, just to be in communion and fellowship with God, journaling. I don't remember back in the day, journaling wasn't such a big thing. We never heard about it. Nobody told us to do it. You couldn't buy journals to every store you walk into, but it seems to have become a thing. Now, especially, I know some younger people are pretty good at journaling. A couple of my kids are good at that. My wife, I think, is pretty good at that. But there's value in that. There's value to put some things down where you're actually processing so you can write something out and you're giving thought to it. And as you're doing that, it's kind of not just writing it on paper, but it's being written in your heart a little bit. And something maybe down the road you'll reflect on that season of life and look back with thanksgiving where maybe God has brought you through some things or maybe a time where God was really working in your life and you know, blessings and growth and you can look back on that and give God thanks for all that he's done. We can forget those things. Sabbath rest. We don't do that very well at all. But God designed us to have these seasons of rest. And it's not just once a week or once a year, but every day God has ordered our lives, our bodies, to need rest, right? You can't go 24 hours, 36 hours, 48 hours without rest. And so God put a clock in your body. And there comes a moment, and some of you, you can tell exactly what time it is. As soon as your body starts shutting down, it's like, okay, we had somebody in church, still comes to our church, and from day one, 8 o'clock, it was almost like you just fall asleep talking to him. We could set our watches by John every night. If we're in Bible study, we're in men's group, you go out, and it's like, I'm out. I'm done. 8 o'clock, even if you're in the middle of something, he'd leave. Some of you can wake up without an alarm clock. Your body just, you're set that way. But there comes a point where you know I need rest. God designed it. Every week you set a Sabbath. Every 7 years for the Jews, he set a Sabbath that the land would rest, right? So they couldn't plow, they couldn't plant, they couldn't harvest. It was a year that they would rest and the land would rest. You know what the 7 years of exile was? How did God come up with 70 years of exile? We've been talking a lot about that, the Babylonian exile.
All in the Sabbaths.
The Sabbaths. They neglected the Sabbaths. So every 7 years, God said, the land rests. And for 490 years, they didn't rest the land. They just plowed and planted for almost 500 years. And so God said, you've missed 70 Sabbaths. So you're going into captivity for 70 years. God's counting. You know, Sabbath was a... Now, I know we're not living under that law now, but we're still the same people with the same need for Sabbath. To set aside time where not only will our body rest, but our spirit will be nourished, and we're intentional about spending time with God and hearing the voice of God. And so you're going to be here with opportunity. Some of us going home, we're going to have to make opportunity. And we need to say, God, I have to hear your voice. That was one of the problems throughout history, biblical history, and beyond, is people just didn't hear the voice of God. Or the dark times and the real difficult times where God withheld his voice, and how it left the people in such trouble and such despair. And so we don't want to be in a place where we're not hearing the voice of God, listening for the voice of God, or get to a place where, because we've wandered from God like they did, where God just says, you don't want to hear my voice, fine, silence. And how it left this incredible void and opportunity for sin and backsliding. And so this is important for us. So I encourage you, coming or going, make sure that this becomes a part of your life. Find the place where you can hear and listen to the voice of God. Practice the disciplines, some that we've mentioned this morning, that will put you in the right position to know the voice of God. First Samuel 3, you can read it on your own. But God wasn't speaking for a while, and it was a dark time in Israel until little Samuel, don't know how little he was, but he had never heard the voice of God. The priest hadn't heard the voice of God. But God began to speak. It took a little time for Samuel, with Eli's help, to recognize that's God trying to speak to you. And finally, his response was, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servant hears. So, Father, we pray that you would speak in all the different ways, Lord, that you have blessed us to hear your voice, where you desire to reach us. So, God, we pray that you would help us, give us the grace, give us the determination. Some things in our lives we're going to have to restructure, some maybe places we're going to need to find so that we can just be undisturbed in your presence, God. We want to hear your voice. I pray for those who are here at camp that are coming now. And it's their desire. It's their hope. Lord, we know you won't disappoint. Your desire is greater that we hear your voice. So I pray you would do it in the meetings, Lord. And through the preaching and the ministry of Brother Ken, we pray your blessing upon him as he comes. We pray, Lord, you'd speak through him. Lord, we pray that all that are hearing would have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. God, help us to respond. We're told we need to be doers as well as hearers. So we want to respond, God, to your voice. We want to respond to your word in obedience. Lord, those who are going home now and the challenges of regular life just imposes on us, Lord, that we would be determined. We will find those places where we would be able to sit to hear. God, forgive us for ignoring your voice. Forgive us for not desiring your voice and to just kind of getting into habits and lifestyles that really just crowds you out. Lord, help us, we pray. It's our desire. So give us that grace. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each one here. God, I pray your blessing on those who are traveling back and forth today. I pray protection upon each one. We pray for our campers who are making their way up today. Prepare their hearts, Jesus, to receive from you the time that they're here, Lord. Break through the barriers and maybe even the pain and the distractions, the hurts, the struggles that they're facing. Even some of these young children coming from homes and situations that are preventing them and holding them back from knowing you. God, I pray that there be great breakthrough these weeks. Pray your will would be accomplished in these children. Pray again for our counselors, God. Prepare their hearts to receive all of these children. Give them wisdom. Give them grace. Give them strength. Give them love, oh God. And so we commit our ways to you, God. We commit this camp to you. We ask your blessing rest upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you again for your ministry. We wish we could stay and get to know some of you more. But for the couple days that we've been together, thank you. We pray God will continue to bless you and be with you. We are dismissed.